Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
Hello, kids and cats. Welcome back to our aptly named show, Worst Year Ever. My name's Katie Stoll.
I am also in the worst year ever, and I can't escape, and my name is Robert Evans.
Hi, Robert.
As a fellow resident of the worst year ever, my name is Cody Johnston.
Can we just all take another lap in this time where we don't get a lot of victory laps to celebrate really nailing the name of this show? I mean, just of the park.
We did it.
It will forever be something I'm most proud of. I mean, this is you. Kudos to you, Robert.
We talked about this a lot, though. You know, we had to
There's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
We went back and forth about whether or not this would be the name. But we did it. We really
nailed
it.
Nailed it.
Theme song seems important and true.
Oh, yeah. Keep that song in mind. Cody, you got your mandolin nearby?
I can have it nearby, yeah.
That's good, Cody, because we're going to start this episode. We're going to be talking about the allegations of sexual assault against Joe Biden this episode.
Yep.
And I hate this story, not just in the way that like rape stories are always, I hate them all, but this is like, I hate this story so much. It's going to be a bummer. And at the end of it,
it's going to be a bummer.
I'm going to promise the audience that you will reward them with a song, a freestyled song. And now it's on tape, so you can't back out.
Smart move asking that on after we were recording.
I've heard your promise. I've internalized your promise. And we will find out what I do with that promise.
Yeah. There's no way to know.
Is one way to know. By finishing the episode.
Ooh. So let's get it started. Obviously have been really focused on everything that's happening with the pandemic, and it's vitally important. But it was also like, whoa, there's still an election going on, and it's important for us to continue to cover that as well. So here we are. These allegations are pretty alarming. If you guys have not seen it, it goes beyond just all of our conversations that we've all been having for years about how touchy Joe Biden is.
How hair smelly he is.
Yeah, this is a very serious allegation of serious assault. And
that is corroborated.
Yeah, I've got it written. I've got it all written out here, and I kind of feel like we might just want to go through it pretty granularly, because I think a lot of people just haven't heard much about this at all, and we should probably lay it out to start with. So it all kicked off in 1993, but that's not the best place to actually like start talking about it. So let's talk about 2019 first.
Sounds good.
Because Yeah, in 2019.
And by good, I mean awful. Sorry,
thank
Robert.
You. That's the year that Lucy Flores, a former candidate for lieutenant governor of Nevada, wrote an essay. It was March of that year. Wrote an essay for The Cut, alleging that Biden had kissed her on the cheek or on the back of the head at a campaign event in 2014. She wrote, "I couldn't move and I couldn't say anything. I wanted nothing more than to get Biden away from me." And in the wake of her report, seven other women came forward, including Amy Lapos, who said that in a 2009 fundraiser, Biden touched her face and rubbed noses with her. And a woman named Tara Reid, and not the famous Tara Reid, but like a different Tara Reid with a different spelling. That confused me at first, and I thought this was a very different story. Yeah, I mean the same story, but just with a very different person in it. So Reid's allegations, which she told to the Union, which is a local California paper, were that Biden had touched her several times in ways that made her feel very uncomfortable when she was working in his Senate office in 1993. She said that he had reduced her duties for his Senate office after she refused to serve drinks for an event because he thought she had nice legs. So like that was kind of the allegation at the time. And Biden didn't respond directly to any of these allegations, but he released a video statement in April of that year where he said, "I shake hands, I hug people, I grab men and women by the shoulders and say, you can do this," while acknowledging that the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset and promising to change his behavior. But he also stated that he didn't apologize for this or anything else he'd ever done. So that is what happened in 2019.
Question. In 2019, did she say that there was more to the story at that point?
She sure did, Katie. She
yes,
sure did.
That's what I wanted to draw attention to. Because everybody, I think, when they were just seeing this in the midst of other headlines, assumed that it was simply another story of inappropriate touching. And I do not mean to diminish the effects of inappropriate touching. But on the surface, people looked at it and thought it was that.
Yeah, and it's, because that's what she said it was.
Because that's what she
also
said.
Yeah, she wrote a Medium post in the, so in the wake of coming out of these, I'm actually just going to read what she wrote in a blog post about what the aftermath of coming out and saying that Joe Biden had inappropriately touched her and flirted with her, like what the aftermath of that was. Quote, "There was an immediate brutal fallout attack on me. I received threats on my life via phone or email. A thread started on Twitter calling me a traitor. I lost income / freelance work from the negative viral tweets. A writer from The Atlantic and a law professor, former Biden staffer in the White House, Richard Painter, teamed up for hit pieces. The viral articles calling me out as a Russian agent swirled on the internet." So it was a bad fallout. It sucked.
It's part of the course for women who come forward with stuff like this.
Yeah. I'm not going to defend the Russian agent allegations. I will simply, for the context of clarity, add that by her own admittance, she comes from a family that's very anti-establishment, anti-United States imperialism, and has been working on a Russian novel and has said things that praised President Putin.
On the Russian agent stuff, this is based off, are you going to get to the blog post about it?
Yeah, I'm gonna read all of it.
Okay.
I've got absolutely everything laid out. Yeah.
Okay, great. I've got opinions about it, so I just want to make sure I'm not plopping in before.
No. Yeah, no. So that sucked. And she also wrote in that Medium post, like that's what you were talking about, Katie. Like later in that post, she made it clear that there was more to her allegations. She wrote, "What Joe Biden did in his interactions with me is really not much different than what happens in other workplaces. I have not told the whole story of what occurred between Joe Biden and myself. After the threats last time, I will not tell it here either. I was told back then that if I continued to speak out, I would be fucking destroyed." So, yeah. Oh, she added, "I was destroyed not once but twice. Perhaps one day there will be a safe way to express what happened." So that's kind of what she teased is the wrong word, but she mentioned that there was more to the story.
Right.
So that's the tale in 2019. Fast forward to a little less than a week ago, and Ryan Grimm of The Intercept publishes an article containing allegations of sexual assault by Reid against Biden. And I think before we go into what he wrote, we should talk a little bit about who Ryan Grimm is and kind of his level of credibility as a reporter. I think that's important when you're talking about a story like this, because you're kind of trusting him to have done an amount of vetting, you know, in as much as it's possible. So Grimm is the Intercept's DC bureau chief. Before that, he worked for the Huffington Post, where he was twice part of reporting teams that were nominated for the Pulitzer Prize. His most recent piece of opinion-based election coverage was a March 15th article with Jeremy Scahill titled, "A Biden-Sanders Ticket, The Unthinkable May Be the Only Path Forward." And I'd like to quote from that because it gives you an idea of kind of where Ryan lands politically. "To avoid a scenario in which President Donald Trump uses the pandemic to his advantage while risking the lives of millions of Americans, the Biden and Bernie Sanders campaigns could broker a split ticket of Biden-Sanders with a clear, publicly announced, historically powerful role for Elizabeth Warren, presumably Secretary of the Treasury. Such an arrangement would be infuriating to vast numbers of people in all three camps. It would anger the authors of this very article." But they also state that it might work for the election and yada yada. Mm-hmm. It just kind of gives you an idea of where this guy is. He's definitely on the Bernie Sanders progressive wing of the party, but he's also clearly like not someone who rejected the idea of Biden in the White House completely out of hand when compared to Trump.
Right, he's not going to vote for Donald Trump.
No, because Scahill and Grimm argue that the severity of the coronavirus epidemic basically had necessitated a Democratic unity ticket. Grimm's biggest story to date prior to this was a 2018 piece where he broke the news that Dianne Feinstein had received a letter related to Brett Kavanaugh, who was then being confirmed by the Supreme Court. This is what turned into the Christine Blasey Ford allegations against Kavanaugh. So he is the journalist who broke the first story in that story. So he's certainly a dude the Democratic establishment has trusted on stories before, right? A lot of the people who are saying that like these allegations brought up by Reid are not credible, and that The Intercept isn't credible, earlier tweeted articles that Grimm wrote out about that whole thing. So that's a factor in this, too. In general, I would say that like Ryan Grimm is about as credible a reporter as he gets. You know, he's definitely got his biases and his personal political beliefs, but he's got a really good history as a journalist.
Right. In terms of actually like publishing the work, like,
yeah. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of people I would say are like much more credible in terms of like breaking a story
and
like this.
It's really hard to not have a bias these days. I would like to talk about some of that a little later on. But yeah.
So yeah, that's Tara's background prior to 2020, and that's the background of the journalist. That's the history of Tara Reid and her allegations. And then obviously, last week that article gets published, and it reveals a bunch of really interesting information. One of the pieces of that story is that Reid kind of decided late last year that she was going to come forward with her additional allegations against Joe Biden. And she went looking for legal aid first and approached Time's Up, the nonprofit formed as a result of the Me Too movement. Now, Time's Up has received a pile of money as big as the sky over the last couple of years as Me Too has, you know, continued to expose abusers and whatnot in public life. They helped fund the legal cases of some of Harvey Weinstein's accusers and have to date put about $10 million into funding cases. Now, Reid spoke with a representative of Time's Up who seemed to think that her allegations were credible and referred her to outside attorneys and suggested their legal defense fund might be able to help. Once that request was made, a series of conversations started within Time's Up, and eventually the organization's director, Sharon Tejani, made the call that they could not provide assistance to Tara Reid. Their justification was that since Biden was a candidate for federal office, assisting a case against him would jeopardize their nonprofit status.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that even true? Because then I was reading that it's not true. Like it should not jeopardize their status.
That's should not is about the strong. So like this isn't one of those things where like there's a law that says it's OK to sue a presidential candidate for sexual assault. But lawyers who have been contacted about whether or not they would lose their 501c3 status have been pretty consistent about saying like that's probably not accurate. Like. Okay. And that's the way that, like, Ellen April, a professor of tax law at Loyola Law School, was asked about this, and her answer is pretty standard. She said that Time's Up analysis was too conservative,
right.
And that's usually how you'll see it framed. Not like they're wrong, but they're being too conservative
about
the extent of the law.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, it just basically feels
this
is some editorializing, like, this seems like an excuse that we can use to sidestep this mess.
Right.
It feels like an excuse someone suggested in a meeting and I'm it probably was.
And right. And then everyone was like, well, our lawyers aren't saying that it's not true.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like saying you didn't do something because you could be sued. Technically, you can be sued for anything in the United States. Like, there are almost no limitations.
Yeah. Also, to what you were saying earlier, maybe there should be a law that says that you can just sue a president for sexual assault.
I support all laws allowing people to sue presidents. Even ones that might inherently seem unreasonable and like they would make governance impossible.
Yeah. Agree.
Let's give it a shot.
Hard agree. Give it
a shot. Why not? So now Grimm and The Intercept make a point in their article of noting that the PR firm that works for Time's Up Legal Defense Fund is SKD Knickerbocker. And the managing director of SKD Knickerbocker is Anita Dunn, who is one of Joe Biden's top advisors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where we get to one of the pieces of what I think is kind of disinformation. I'll call it light disinformation spreading around the internet. People are saying that, like, Anita Dunn, who headed Harvey Weinstein's PR defense after, the allegations came up, that she is, and that is not, that,
that's
that she's
not true.
Working for Biden. That's not what happened. She was consulted along with a bunch of other PR people for free by Weinstein at the very beginning of this. And she
she did
to him,
some pro
as far
bono
as we know,
advice
once.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big Democratic donor. Somebody who knew her was like, will you give Harvey some advice? And she did at the very, very beginning of this. She was not paid, and she was certainly not. You can argue, like, that wasn't a good thing to do at all. She should have read the article and been like, fuck you, Harvey.
Yeah.
Totally fair. But it's a stretch to say she directed his defense. She talked
right,
to him
right.
once. He did have a paid team of assholes for that job. We know who those people are. Don't take the credit away from them.
Yeah, between those things.
Yeah, totally fair to be like, hey, that's kind of gross, isn't it? And it is kind of gross, but let's not state it. Let's not pretend it's something other than what it is.
Yeah, we don't need to pad the grossness.
She visits Harvey every day in prison and says, I'm so sorry about what's happened to you.
It is, though, like, and there's no evidence that she waited on the call about whether or not to take these allegations. And I suspect that at least on paper, someone in her position has no decision making power for that. That said, do I think that nobody talked to her about it or that she didn't weigh into anyone with influence at the NGO about that? Like, no, I would be very surprised if she didn't.
To be fair, this is the response that she received from the Time's Up employee that contacted her. They said, please know how much I appreciate your courage in speaking out and appreciate what you shared over the phone, that you are speaking out so that your daughter and other young people can start their careers free of harassment. It genuinely seems to me when I read that there was a lot of remorse at not being able to help her.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, I don't think there's, like, it, from what I can understand, the actual employee at Time's Up who dealt with her case did nothing wrong, took it seriously, escalated it, and was told no from higher up. So
right, brought it to the right people. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of criticism of Time's Up that we should be having right now, but I don't want to, like, pretend that it's not full of people like that employee who legitimately wanted to do something, you know?
What I don't want to pretend anymore is that it's not time to take a quick break for ads.
You know who won't harass women who come forward with allegations about vice presidents?
Who, Robert?
Products and services.
Products and services.
Yeah.
Welcome
to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back. Oh,
yes.
My God.
Woo.
Those ads
Thank
were
God.
So great.
Oh, my God.
They
gosh.
Make it less horrible that we're going to talk in detail now about the allegations of sexual assault made by Tara Reid against Joseph Biden, Joseph Robinette Biden. So this all happened in 1993 when she was working as a legislative aide. And in her retelling of events, so she talked to The Intercept, and then she was on the podcast of a woman named Katie Halper, who's a very pro-Bernie journalist. So that's the context of that. So she says that while she was working as an aide for Biden, she was approached by another Biden employee who gave her a gym bag and said that Joe needed his gym bag. And she went in to see Mr. Biden, and then the things that we're just going to play this clip. It's about 2 minutes from her recollection of events, and this is what she says happens after she met Joe with the gym bag.
We were alone, and it was the strangest thing. There was no like exchange, really. He just had me up against the wall, and I was wearing like a skirt and, you know, business skirt, but I wasn't wearing stockings. It was kind of a hot day that day, and I was wearing heels. And I remember my legs had been hurting from the marble, you know, of the Capitol, mm-hmm. like walking. And I remember that kind of stuff. I remember like I was wearing a blouse, and he just had me up against the wall, and the wall was cold. And I remember it happened all at once. The gym bag, I don't know where it went. I handed it to him, it was gone. And then his hands were on me and underneath my clothes. And, and then he went down my skirt, but then up inside it, and he, penetrated me with his fingers, whatever. And, he was kissing me at the same time, and he was saying something to me. He said several things, and I can't remember everything he said. I remember a couple of things. I remember him saying, first, before, like as he was doing it, do you want to go somewhere else? And then him saying to me, when I pulled away, he got finished doing what he was doing, and I kind of was pulled back. And he said, "Come on, man, I heard you liked me." Mm-hmm. And it's that phrase stayed with me because I kept thinking what I might have said, and I can't remember exactly if he said I thought or if I heard, but it's like he implied like that I had done this, like I don't know. And for me, it was like everything shattered in that moment, because I knew like we were alone. It was over, right? He wasn't trying to do anything more, but I looked up to him. He was like my father's age. He was this champion of women's rights in my eyes. And I couldn't believe it was happening. It seemed surreal.
So yeah, that's, those are the allegations, the bulk of them like that's the allegations of actual like physical. We'll talk about some of the stuff he said later, but
yeah,
they're not good.
As the clip goes on, she says something that really, really stuck with me. She had mentioned, you know, there are things that he said that I don't want to repeat. And then Katie pressed a little bit and said, "Are you sure you don't want to share that?" And she acquiesced and said, "What he said to her in that moment was, 'You're nothing to me.'"
Yeah.
And then she goes on to say, and he was right, because that's how everybody treated her. You know, people didn't want to know what happened to her. They didn't want to hear it. And she just ends by making that point, like, you know, you want to know why people don't come forward. Well, this is a great example why. And that really hit me, man. You know,
yeah.
You're nothing to me.
Yeah. And she alleges at least that in the wake of this, he kind of cratered her career in politics, working in campaigns,
yeah.
Like, because he thought, and you know, he thought that she liked him. Someone had told him, that's his allegation, that he thought she liked him. And
yeah. And in that interview, when she also, she talks about that and she's like, I don't know if somebody had said it or.
Yeah.
If it was something that I'd done to make him think that I liked him, which is just the most grotesque, it's just a terrible, obviously this is what we talk about in workplace environments, the onus on a woman to start questioning what did they do wrong.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, like I don't have a truth detector. People lie all the time. And I think that one of the debates that's going on right now is like over, like believe women as a slogan.
Yeah.
And I agree with the essence of it, which is that like you should assume as a rule that allegations of sexual assault are true, which does not mean that you have to assume without vetting that every single allegation of sexual assault is accurate. You just assume the same way that like when someone says my home was broken into, that they're not, this isn't some con game they have. You offer
right.
them sympathy yeah. and you take it seriously because most people who have their homes broken into have their homes broken into.
And it's worth reminding everybody that statistically, the vast majority of sexual assault allegations are in fact true, because why would a
yeah.
woman want to put herself through this?
But also very unfortunately, and understandably, considering what's going on, in the vast majority of sexual assault allegations, there's no like evidence that smoking gun
right.
or anything. Like the evidence in this is that like yes, definitely Biden and Reid would have been in a position to be alone together.
Right.
Like we can say that.
Yeah, during
there's
that
nothing
year,
more
yeah.
we can say.
And well, and yeah. it is this is not evidence, but it is corroborated by her friends, her brother,
yes.
Who's gone on record as saying at the time, I didn't think she should do anything about it. And I regret
yeah.
that. And, you know, so the people close to her in her life are like, yeah, this absolutely happened.
Yeah. Yeah. The people and say that she brought it up at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of, you know, Biden has had surrogates, a couple of women who've worked for him a long time, be like, you know, I was working for him at this time. I never heard of him doing anything like this. And that's kind of all you're going to get on this. You're not going to get
yeah.
no videotape is going to emerge of Joe Biden being like, I sure do love being a sex crime guy.
Yeah.
We're just like, this
only
is, this
the, current
is the information
that
exists. Yes.
Hey man, I like to grab him by the lady bit. Mm-hmm.
Trump's like, I am the best sex crime president there ever was. The absolute, it's, I hate him. Sorry.
I kind of, Katie, maybe that's what we need in America, is for this debate to come down to the president who calls them lady bits and the president who calls it a pussy. That's our good. Yeah.
If Biden got up there yeah. and just called it cunts, I'd respect that.
Yeah.
No,
if
I wouldn't.
He and Trump just had a fucking race to the bottom.
Like,
I mean,
fuck it. You're all cunts.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, so one of the things that really strikes me about everything that happened here is that I suspect that Donald Trump knows that he has had unconsensual sexual relationships with women.
His ex-wife.
I don't think Joe Biden thinks that this was anything other than like, I think he probably, if he was totally honest, would be like, yeah, I was flirting a little bit aggressively. I think that's how it's gone down in his head. And
mm-hmm.
I suspect that is how which doesn't make it less of a sexual assault. But I think that is probably how Joe really thinks about what happened.
Yeah,
is,
that's,
oh, yeah. That's
yeah.
how he, it's what is
she was
it's
into
what
me.
His apology was originally about the hair sniffing and all that. He, when
yeah.
he said that like the rules of like personal space have been reset, that implies that he thought that his behavior was fine and acceptable. But
yeah,
now
he,
it's not.
It implies
it's
he
like,
thought
okay,
that the rules were different.
Right,
it's
like, well, the rules are different now, so I'm going to change my behavior. I'm not going to do that anymore, which means that he thought it was okay. And I think that speaks to sort of what his attitude would be in general. But
and I guess his general evolution as a politician. where you're like looking at the stuff that he's up there defending.
Right. He's like, I just didn't know.
It's bullshit. It's very, a very, I would say it's a very serious, credible allegation, and it needs to be, at the very least, confronted seriously by the Biden campaign and acknowledged and answered. And the same thing needs to be done by the mainstream media, because that is how we as a society should treat credible allegations of sexual assault by presidential candidates. It is not being treated that way. Now, the Biden campaign has released a statement saying basically this is untrue. We respect women who come forward, but this didn't happen. And that's actually less gross than what has happened in kind of the mainstream press, where there has been almost a blackout on this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is just not reaching mainstream traction. Yeah. It has been popular on the far left. People are sharing it. And a lot of far right sources have been sharing it. But that said, even on the right wing, it hasn't really picked up that much steam yet. And I think a lot of that does have to do with the fact that we're in this nightmare pandemic that dominates all discussion of everything. I guess in a little bit of fairness to everyone, not many other stories are getting through right now. But even with that taken into account, it seems like it's been blackballed.
Yeah, because even people who do... who aren't like outright ignoring it and pretending like it doesn't exist, if they address it, it does come down to like, oh, it's a conspiracy, she's a Russian plant, or like it gets into that kind of stuff, or dismissing it outright. A lot of weird behavior if you compare it to other allegations about other people.
It's disappointing in so many ways. I mean, I you're right. There's this pandemic going on. Anything that's election related, even that is having a hard time penetrating our collective consciousness right now.
This is normally when stories like this I get into immediately, and it was two or 3 days after this came out before I, just because like sexual assault's less serious, but like this is like it's hard to think about anything else.
But even if this wasn't going on, I think it's safe to assume
it would, nothing
that
would change.
It would still be getting, it wouldn't be getting traction. You know, we see people using this time to cover their tracks, and people don't want to believe it. They don't want to see it. And I find it so disappointing because if Joe Biden's the nominee, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. I feel like I'm going to have to, but it's really tricky for me because all along there's a lot of reasons why I hate Donald Trump. But from the beginning, when just seeing the laundry list of women's allegations against him, and it was like, I am so glad that I'm not a Republican and I don't have to make that choice. I don't have to face that moral choice. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I was them, I wouldn't have been able to vote for him. I wouldn't have been able to stomach it. I resent being in this position.
Yeah. I don't know what I will do voting wise. We should talk about that at the end. But one of the things that's been coming up is like comparing the number of allegations against Trump to the ones against Biden, because there's a lot fewer for Biden. But it's
I've seen if they're both rapists, vote for the one with the best policies. Like, unbelievable that we're having that conversation.
I mean, it's like when other candidates try to run against Bernie by talking about how they only attempted to shoot President Reagan while Bernie actually killed.
Like, go for the real shit.
It's exactly like that. Yeah. Go for the real shit. Do not vote for Senator Jim Inhofe, who I am alleging now is the real shooter that attacked Ronald Reagan.
Fuck that up. Jim.
You guys were mentioning... You guys were mentioning that on somebody's timeline, they retroactively went and deleted all of their support, their tweets, Time's Up tweets.
And
their Kavanaugh stuff.
There's a couple of people who have done that, some of whom have been like, no, my tweets auto-delete after 3 months, which a lot of people do. But then on a couple of those cases, folks have been found like, well, this tweet from 4 years ago is still up.
Weird how that happened.
Yeah, there are just some of the people who seem to be doing this, whether or not it is auto-delete. Simone Sanders, she was actually the press secretary for Bernie Sanders in 2016. She's now an advisor for Joe Biden. Jill Filipovich, I believe, is another one. And again, it's just, you know, we went through a period like 1.5 years ago, 2 years, what was it, 2 years ago, three, was it 9 years ago, with the whole Kavanaugh stuff and the argument about like whether or not her accusation was credible, whether or not we should believe her, what, like all the things that we're hearing now from people in the mainstream media who are completely ignoring this, it is completely flipped. From what they were saying just a few short years ago.
Yes. Yes. And that's
It's blatant too. It's so obvious what's going on.
It's bad.
And like,
it's
and maybe
not
we'll get
good.
Into this a little later, but like with the whole just the Biden of it all in general, it seems like that. Like there is a
the Joe down
of it all. There is a lot of gaslighting, I feel, about
the Robinette-ness
and things about him, problems people have had with him, literal like candidates who now endorse him, things that they've said about him, all of that is gone. We're not allowed to mention any of that anymore. Well, it's very frustrating.
It's just our I understand the desire to rally around your candidate and start doing I understand that from one perspective, but it's also like, God, we want better than this, and we want more
also
than this.
Well, that's the thing, because Joe Biden is nobody's candidate. Every one of these people would be like, well, no, he's not my first choice or my second choice or my third. He's nobody's first or second or third choice. But there's this sense that like
he's somebody's that, but
so yeah. Now, one of the things that makes this very frustrating is that, and it's hard to phrase this in a way that doesn't sound like I'm victim blaming, because that's not what I'm getting at here. Because of aspects of her personality and beliefs, Tara Reid feels like someone crafted in a lab to be the person the Democratic establishment could most easily try to discredit for her allegations. She's an outspoken Sanders supporter for one thing, but really the biggest part of it...
She was pro-Warren first.
And she was pro-Warren first. But... The thing that is really drawing a lot of ire and that is being used to sort of immediately kind of deny the seriousness of her allegations is what I would describe as an outrageously shitty blog post that she wrote back in 2018 for Medium.com. And it is bad, and her opinions in it are bad, and I'm going to read you a relevant section now. I love Russia with all my heart. I love the people, the history, the culture, and even my attempts to learn the language. I could not stand to watch the deception and xenophobia that came from my own American government. It is so sad and destructive to revile another cultural country for no reason but economic gain. President Putin scares the power elite in America because he is a compassionate, caring, and visionary leader. President Putin has higher approval ratings in America than the American president. President Putin is beloved by Russia, and he not going anywhere. Instead of being ensnared in the recent political intrigues and America trying hard to set that trap, President Putin is keeping a calm focus on his own country's development and future without America. To President Putin, I say, keep your eyes to the beautiful future, and maybe, just maybe, America will come to see Russia as I do, with eyes of love. So
yeah, it's tough, man.
It's
that's
a horrible
post.
I really hate the knee-jerk Russian bot accusations or Russian.
But
agent.
Jesus Christ,
this is a foundation.
Jesus Christ,
not that I'm saying she is, but like
I see where some of that is coming. No, well, just because of the Russian situation, there is I do see a lot of xenophobia about Russian citizens. A lot of like resistance type folk, but man, everything else not great.
Sure.
But also, let's say you're like a Russian plant, an operative, accuse the front runner of sexual assault when you worked in their office in 1993. I don't think that blog post would be published by that person. If they were trying to do that.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
This does not, whatever. I know.
I also don't know that if a secret Russian agent planted to take down Biden would be publicly.
That's what I mean. Like they wouldn't publish that article. They wouldn't have done that because that's the whole point.
Well, unless they just wanted to cause. Yeah. I mean, so here.
To cause the chaos. Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah, so this doesn't feel like a Russian agent to me. I would say the Russian government is absolutely going to do their best to boost stories about this. Yeah, which doesn't mean that the information shouldn't get out there. It just means that they have a vested interest in everyone in America arguing and fighting as much as possible. Which doesn't mean there aren't things to argue and fight about. It's just that's what they do. They don't embed sleeper cells in 1993 to be in a position next to Joe Biden so that they can then have them flawlessly live a quiet life and then come forward to disrupt an election after making only one mistake, and that mistake being to write a really ridiculously bad blog entry.
They're not playing that kind of long game. Also, she has acknowledged
that it's bad.
Yes. You know, that she grew up, that it was bad, but you know, she's like, I grew up in an anti-imperialist household, very liberal. She's immersed herself in Russian culture because she's writing a book that's set there, all sorts of stuff. Sure. It was a bad post.
It was a bad post.
But you know,
but she's also, I know people who believe the kind of stuff she believes, and I think they're all very frustrating, but I would take it very seriously if any of them came to me and said that they were sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
Because you have a right to believe frustrating, dumb things in this country. You also have a right to not be sexually assaulted.
Exactly. You know what else you have a right to do? You have a right to remain silent and listen to these ads. Eh?
And you know what, Katie? I think we can all agree that's the only real right that anyone has.
To listen to advertisements
legally.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back.
We're back.
Well, how are we all feeling about this fucking not great news?
Not feeling great about that. You know what else I'm not feeling great about? Our upcoming election, for a variety of reasons. But one of it is this matchup of Biden and Trump. I think it's important to talk about where we're standing right now. We're operating under the assumption that things continue and Biden gets the nomination, which maybe not. Maybe something, this year is wild. Anything could happen. But, you know, Trump's approval rating is up right now.
Well, is it?
A little bit. It is up a bit.
He's a wartime president.
It is up a bit. He's a wartime president. And I've been looking into this a little bit. It seems like world leaders in general are getting a bump because of the response around this. I mean, not like Bolsonaro, apparently, but in general, people are getting a little bit of a approval bump. And it's hard to exactly pinpoint why. It could be the fact that, you know, Trump really underwhelms and the fact that he's doing literally anything at all.
people might be like, well, he's doing a little better.
Right. Also his, yeah.
You know, if you're comparing his to his past.
Disapproval rating has still not gotten under 50%. So there is that bump, yeah, but it's still like, he's still not doing great.
He's still not doing great. But now when you match up Biden and Trump, it's, you know, depends on the poll, but it's getting closer and closer. Like the gap between people saying that they would vote for Biden over Trump is diminishing. It's just diminishing. And it's just something to be paying attention to as we're looking at this, especially since we're going to be comparing them. We're comparing them inherently throughout this episode right now.
Yeah. And I think one thing that is important to keep in mind when we look at I almost think there's not going to be much of a point in paying attention to any numbers for the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Totally.
Because one of the realities of our moment is that COVID-19 is moving a lot faster than polling does. So the reason I was shocked when you said that his approval was up, I'd obviously heard those stories, but I came across a story last week on the 27th, so late last week, which was comparing polls from March 26th and 27th to polls from March 22nd and March 23rd. And on March 22nd and March 23rd, according to the Hill-Harris-X poll, 56% of Americans approved of the president's handling of COVID-19. But in March 26th, 27th, just 3 days later, only 50% of registered voters said they approved of the president's handling.
Totally. Look, I'm not saying put undue amount of stock in any polling. You're right. It is absolutely right. This is moving so fast and it's really hard to track. But I think it goes without saying he's labeled himself a wartime president. He is a wartime president. There is historical context for why that behooves him to have a crisis. There has been some uptick in his polling, and maybe that's not going to last very long. It's just something to keep in mind, but not put too much stock in, because like you said, things are changing. Like I even said a minute ago, who knows what's going to happen in the next month or two months.
Yeah. There's now data from Ipsos on how much Americans are trusting the information the president's telling them.
Sure.
73% of respondents, including 75% of Republicans, say it's not true that anyone who wants to get tested can get tested. Only 20% of the public and 25% of the Republicans said that they believed a vaccine would be ready soon. 51% of respondents, including a plurality of Republicans, 46%, said that it was false that the virus would go away on its own in warm weather. And 61% of respondents said that they thought COVID-19 was deadlier than the flu. So
that is separate, though, from whether or not people want to vote for Donald Trump again.
Yes. Sure. Yes, absolutely.
It's just something that I'm keeping in mind. I urge people to not freak out about or just yet anyway. Except that vote for Bernie if you still can. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to touch on as part of why it's just, this is nothing new. This is something that we've discussed a lot, but part of why it's so hard to hold him to account during this is indeed the media. Earlier, I'd said that it's hard. Journalists inherently have their biases, but they go out of their way to not seem like they have a bias, you know, instead of saying like Trump had a press conference and he said 50 lies about coronavirus. They say, Trump had a confusing presser, you know.
Or they say he makes claims that obviously untrue thing, which is, I hate that.
It should be
illegal.
Especially right now. Fuck your objectivity, you know.
Yeah. You know who I like to talk about when we talk about journalistic objectivity is William Shirer. Now, William Shirer was one of the great American reporters of the 20th century. He was in Berlin. I forget which news agency, but he was like an American reporter in Berlin for basically like a huge chunk of the Weimar era and most of the rise of the Nazi Party to power. And so he interviewed all of these top-ranking Nazis. And then when the war started, he was back in the U.S., and he started making propaganda reels for the U.S. government that informed people about realities of the Nazi regime. Mm-hmm. And he wrote Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, which is an utterly indispensable book of the history of the rise of the Nazis. And was a very good journalist who also didn't for a second pretend that his job was to be to do anything but condemn the Nazis as Nazis. You can report objectively on what they're doing and also never leave anyone in doubt that it is wrong to be a Nazi and that these people are shit.
It's very easy to do.
Yeah.
And that's what we need right now. Not just your opinion pieces. I want the article. The article that is getting circulated that people are going to for facts needs to be really clear. And I'm disappointed.
Yeah. I am honestly, for the first time in this election, the allegations against Biden, the sexual assault allegations, I'm honestly not certain what I will do as a result of that. Because I have two things that I've held to as hard lines when people ask, like, based on my personal beliefs, which are kind of much more in the anarchist-y tradition, like, why I still think people should vote. And my same argument is why I think people should. I don't like crystal meth, but I think people should understand the effects it has on their health if they're going to do it. It's harm reduction. Yeah, I think about voting the same way I think about doing dangerous drugs. It's a danger. It's a bad, dangerous thing in a lot of cases to do to yourself. But doing it allows you to reduce the amount of harm. So I think it's important. And I believe two things since I kind of held my nose and voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, which is that at least I'm not voting for a rapist, although she's the wife of a rapist, and that's not ideal.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, I am voting for someone who, though I agree with her on very little, meets a basic minimum amount of competence that I don't think she will botch
like a pandemic or
an extinction level event in the response to it. Yeah, like a pandemic. And those two things are at war right now. Because I still, regardless of whether or not Joe Biden committed sexual assault, he would do a better job on a mechanical level of dealing with the response to a pandemic. Which doesn't mean
you have
to...
A panda bear would.
Yeah, panda bear would might be better than both of them. And
certainly be cuter.
Yeah. It is an unbelievably
low
bar.
They're very smart.
They are very smart. And a panda bear would have started rolling out tests in fucking January. But...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just... I know, I hear your point. I struggle with it too. Because that's what I was trying to say, intimating earlier, is like, I just don't want to be put in that position. I don't want to have to make that kind of a moral choice. On the other hand, I look at, if a handful more than a handful, but like everybody that didn't vote for Hillary Clinton because, X, Y, or Z, or they like, percentagely, it's not because people didn't vote for her because it's not Bernie. I mean, some people did, but that's not a huge moving factor. But like, whatever reasons that people didn't vote for her or just vote for anybody. And then you look at what's happening now and you're like,
this is
tough. You know, do I want Biden? I don't. Do I want four more years of Trump? Fuck no, I don't.
I honestly don't know what I will do at this point because I do take the allegations against Biden seriously, and I don't know if I can vote for someone who did that. That said, right now I'm looking at it. It looks like President Trump had the My
Come
Pillow guy
on.
Address
Why
the
would
press
you
from
tell
the
me
Rose
that
Garden
right now. Unbelievable, man.
Wait, who's the My Pillow guy?
Is the guy, one of the few guys running a company who kept their ads on
all
Tucker
the time.
Carlson after the audio of Carlson being
he
sells pillows on Fox News. He is addressing the nation about the coronavirus epidemic. Everything like I don't know what I will do, and I hope the audience can forgive if some of our responses are like, fucking mulling this one over,
it's
y'all.
It's so frustrating, and like all this kind of stuff we've been talking about for so long, and it's such an indictment of, I mean, the media, but like the Democratic Party. It's so obvious. It's like they're holding their nose, and they're doing the same thing that happened in 2016 of like, we're going to ignore all this stuff. Yeah. And we're going to pretend like it doesn't even exist with Trump. And I don't want...
Yeah.
I obviously wish with all of my heart and being that there was no pandemic. But if there were a pandemic, I wish it had hit like 3 or 4 weeks earlier. Just a few weeks. Just in a little bit earlier in our primary season. I think that if that had happened, we would be looking at a very different race.
We can all hope all sorts of things. I am not thrilled that right now I'm thinking, which rapist do I want to deal with a natural disaster? Because yes, the rapist I would pick is Joe Biden.
That's not the worst option.
Yeah. What the core of it is, I don't know that I want to contribute to the system that puts me with that choice. And I also know that, like, by choosing not to, I am potentially making a decision that would make life a lot more dangerous for people in vulnerable situations, which is why I voted for Hillary Clinton, you know, because there are things that are worse. One of the things people need to fucking consider, which I don't think can be said enough, but like everyone's like, well, Obama bombed people too. They're not really all that different. Civilian casualties as a result of U.S. airstrikes jumped 160% in Trump's first year.
Yeah, he does everything but worse and more. Like,
yeah, like there's a difference. Yeah, we're exactly.
You don't have to love Obama to see that there is a difference.
I'm not trying to, I hope this isn't coming across as us being like, so this is why you should vote Joe Biden. I don't know if I'm going to vote for Joe Biden, but this is what's going on in our heads.
Yeah, it's just another thing on the pile of.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm going to end up voting.
Vermin Supreme.
I think, unless I don't know. You're right. It's really hard. I do think I still hold in my mind that. Having Trump in charge obviously puts so many people at risk, and and I don't want that. And four more years of it will unleash untold horrors because he is, you know, the safety will be off. You know,
Shame on everybody for allowing this decision to be a thing that voters have to deal with. Shame on the media, shame on the DNC, shame on everyone who is gaslighting and lying about all the stuff that everyone talked about a year ago.
We're going to see. I'm going to see what happens throughout the rest of the primary. I'm going to see what more information we have. I'm going to see who he picks as his running mate. I'm not giving up quite hope on Bernie, although it's really hard to see a path.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think I can make much in the way of political conclusions until we are past the worst of this pandemic. And I don't want to leave. Like, I think it is important. I don't like it when people pretend like they have such a clear understanding of what the right thing is to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's clear. There's a real strong moral argument for refusing to vote for Biden because of what he did. There's also a real strong argument that says, but what about all the additional people who will die?
Yeah, also,
I think
this conversation, you know, also, I see it a lot in a different form, which is that anyone who criticizes Joe Biden, tons of people will swarm them and say, well, are you going to vote for him? Are you going to vote for him? You're going to vote for him, though. And this sort of like, you're not going to like vote for a third party or anything like that. And it's very frustrating to not be able to criticize, someone, especially given these allegations and things like that. But, the idea of like, why are you having that conversation now? Like, why are you haranguing people and like bothering them about their vote in November? It's March. And these are the things, like, if anything, the people asking that question should be considering what they're doing. Like, all these things that people are saying about Joe Biden, consider those instead of hopping on and being like, but you're going to vote for him in like 7 months or whatever. It's wild to like force that conversation.
I understand. I do completely agree with you about that. But as you're talking, I sit here and I'm like, I do understand people's anxiety. I do understand like some subset of those people. For example, my mom, who's begged me, she voted for Bernie, but she's begged me, please do what you can. Like, I can't have another 4 years of Donald Trump. I know what he's like. And I was like, Mom, well, we'll get to that bridge when we come to it, you know, but like. People that are desperate to end this nightmare, and so I do understand the impetus, but I also think people need to have some space and say like, yeah, we're all coming to our opinions right now, we're coming to conclusions, and we want what's best for the country as well. And some people it might be hard. I mean, the same reason it like the whole conversation of like Warren Bernie voters, like, I mean, it's slightly different, but it's like, oh, I do understand people needing to.
I totally get that anxiety. Yeah. And I just think that the conversation needs to be flipped in the other direction, because if people are saying all these things, mm-hmm. and like making a lot of pretty like fair comparisons to what happened in 2016. And if people are like, but all the it's the Bernie bros who lost the election in 2016, maybe that should give you pause about what you're doing in regards to Joe Biden. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. What's up,
Cody? I think the only thing we can do to lead everyone out of this awful episode is to provide them with a little song. And to help you out, Cody, I can freestyle the lyrics if you'd like.
I got...
I mean, it's up to you. You're the one with talent here. But we got to leave them with something.
Maybe we should just, like, end the episode just a thought?
No. We made a promise.
All right, go, Cody.
And all of this stays in. Every bit of this stays in.
Oh,
let are you going to do it, Cody?
Are you excited for Joe Biden? We're trying. We might fail. Oh, well. Sorry. Kind of sucks.
Thank you.
I think we saved everyone with it.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more.
So thank you.
Thank you, Cody.
Thank you for
saving everyone. And thank you guys for listening always and for all of your support. You can check us out online at Worst Year Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and hey, man.
Come on, man. Hey, Jack. Get out and vote.
And you can. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I tried. Yes. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.